Welcome to the Three Creeks Church Podcast. We're a church in Gahanna, Ohio that exists to help people find and follow God. We hope this message encourages you, challenges you, and helps you discover how much God really loves you.
Good morning, Three Creeks Church. I am so honored and so excited to keep taking us through this series in the book of 2 Timothy. If we have not met before, my name is Stephanie Kossip, and I go to this church. And if you, wherever you're at on the scale, you could be visiting, you could consider our church home. What I hope for you this morning is that you are just refreshed, that your soul finds a little bit of that filling up that it needs to keep going on through the week. We know that you could be anywhere else this morning, and so we just appreciate that you would be here, and I hope that God meets you here since this is where you chose to be. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to jump in fast, so buckle in while I pray. God, I thank you for this morning, for our church, for the family that you have designed here. Pray for my words that they are exactly what you want to say to the people here, that there are no more or less words than you need to be said this morning. Amen. So where we're going to pick up today is where our lead pastor, Joel Traynor, left off last week. And that means that today we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 8 and go all the way to verse 13. And Joel has done a really good job of giving context and history and all of the things that it takes to really take a book like this of the Bible and get the most out of it, to be able to read it and understand what was going on in history, who's the author, who's the recipient. And so if you have not been here in past weeks and you want to keep studying Timothy, if you want to get into this book yourself, I just say that so that you know, hey, you can go back and listen to old messages and get a lot more richness from listening to that history from Joel. I am going to give a very fast summary before we get in today, so I'm not going to give all of that context that he's been giving us for weeks now. So the book of 2 Timothy is a book in the Bible in the New Testament. And it was actually originally a letter. It was written from a man named Paul to somebody that he considered a spiritual son named Timothy. And as Paul wrote to Timothy, what we've read so far, there's a Cheerio on stage. I'm going to kick that off. Thank you, Georgia, or Parker, probably. Sorry, guys. Anyways, so as we've been listening since the beginning of September, we've heard this theme of being strong and enduring. And there's a metaphor through the whole book of this, 2 Timothy, where there's a metaphor of running your race and running it well. And what we're going to feel in verse 8 as Paul starts is he's going to stop and take a break from stories and examples and metaphors. And he stops and he says, okay, Timothy, there's a lot of action here. There's a lot of challenge. There's a lot of instruction I'm giving you. I need to make sure you remember something. I need to make sure that you keep the main thing, the main thing. And because we're sitting in a church this morning, you guys are not going to be surprised that the main thing is Jesus. It's the gospel. That's not going to be a shocker. And so we're going to dive into the gospel today, and we're going to do exactly what Paul did for Timothy, which was have him stop and remember. We have to keep the main thing the main thing, and that's what I want you to walk away with today. So if you want to get a Bible, you can open it up to 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 8. And if you do not have a physical copy of the Bible, I hope you know that I can be helpful in kind of spurring us on and maybe pointing some things out on a Sunday morning. Joel is a really good teacher. He's really helpful in leading us along as a church. But the life that you're going to find in these words is when you can get in it yourself. And so at the back of the auditorium, as you walk out, there is a table stacked with Bibles. If you do not have a Bible, please grab one of those. It is our gift to you because we really believe that there is life to be found in there. And so I'm going to start with verse 8. where Paul writes, "Always remember that Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. This is the good news that I preach." So Paul makes this point to say, always remember Jesus to Timothy. But if we think about, like, he could have written anything in this letter. And Paul, at the time of writing this letter, is in chains in a prison in Rome. And the reason he is in prison is because of preaching the gospel. Paul's writing to Timothy. Timothy spent a lot of his life learning from Paul and going on missionary journeys with Paul and being discipled. And now Timothy is a pastor in a city named Ephesus. So neither one of these men are the kind of men that you would think, you know what they need reminded of? Jesus, probably. These are the kind of men that could easily show up and go, yeah, we get it. That's kind of like what we do. We can take it from here. Let's get back to the metaphors that we're really good at teaching you. But that's not what Paul does. He says, Timothy, we have to stop and remember Jesus. You have to keep the main thing the main thing. Because the things that I'm challenging you in, the things that I'm reminding you of throughout this whole letter, they're hard. If you don't have the right heart in it, if you don't keep the gospel at the center, if you miss even a little bit of Jesus, you're not going to run this race well. And so sometimes, just like Paul did for Timothy, what we need to do as a church is just sit and remember. And so to honor the way that this letter was written, we are going to do the same thing this morning at Three Creeks. And so it's going to get a little uncomfortable at the end of today's message. Because if you've come to our church before, you know that when we wrap up, we usually have reflection questions or a challenge for the week or something like action point, right? And we like that. We're Americans and we're go-getters and we like to do things. And it's a lot easier to go do something than to just sit in being someone. Today, I'm going to wrap up with verse 13, and then we're just going to go into our last song of worship. And then we're going to have a prayer team in the back like we always do if you want to pray with someone. You can sit in your seat. You don't have to get up and worship if you just want to sit and keep remembering. But that is what we're doing this morning. We're just going to take a few minutes of your week to stop and to remember. Because just like Timothy, if any of us miss it, if we don't keep the main thing, none of the other stuff is going to line up. We're not going to get any of our race right. So to get to the heart of it, I'm going to tell this gospel. So if you have not heard the gospel before, I'm going to present it for us. If you've heard it before, then you can take time to sit back and let it kind of soak in. What Paul seemed to be telling Timothy is, get this deep into your bones. And so as I go through this, I would ask you the same thing. Just let it settle deep into your bones. If you call yourself a Christ follower, this is the heart of it. This is the good news. If you're not a Christ follower and you're just visiting this morning, that is okay. You are really welcome. We are happy you're here. This is a chance for you to hear what we believe. And some of it's going to sound a little wacky. Some of it might sound a little offensive. That is okay. This is your chance just to hear it. And I believe there's a purpose that God would have you hear it today. So we go all the way to the beginning. I promise I'm not going to talk forever on this. You're going to be like, the beginning? Girl, like, you can't skip to the middle. In the beginning, God made the earth, and we believe that as Christians. He spoke the earth into existence, and he said, it is good. He made humans, and he says, it is very good. And so from the beginning, we see that the character of our God, he is a God with a plan, and what he does when he speaks, he creates wholeness. He's a God of connection, and that is what he made, and it was good from the beginning. Obviously, that's not the world we're living in now. And so there's this thing called sin that enters the picture, and in Christianity, we call this event the fall, when sin entered in. And sin comes with consequences. The consequences of sin, according to the Bible, are death and separation from God. And so We have creation, we have the fall, and then we have the Old Testament. And God had just made the world, so he could have just kind of wiped it all off, right? And gone, okay, first draft, not so great. Maybe in the next edition, I won't give them free will. Let's start over. He didn't do that. Instead, we see this God through the Old Testament who over and over again, he talks to his people and he says, I have a plan to redeem this. I am not done yet. I'm not done with you. I have good plans for you. And if you would follow me, if you would choose my ways, I promise there is goodness ahead for you. In the Old Testament and in all of these promises, and there starts to become these prophecies, and there's all these things that we can read that God has promised in the Old Testament, including that in the line of a man named King David, a promised Savior will come. And so when Paul writes Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David, he's not just saying like, oh, that was Jesus's bloodline. And he's not just throwing random facts out there. When he writes that, Paul is saying, God is a God who makes promises, and God is a God who keeps promises. And when God keeps his promises and he fulfills them, they're going to be beyond what you can imagine. So God fulfills this promise in Jesus. Jesus is born. He is God, but he is born a man. And he lives a sinless life on our behalf. When he becomes an adult, he becomes a rabbi, which in Jewish culture is a teacher. And he has these followers, these disciples around him. And he teaches them about God and the ways of God. And he both models it in his life and also teaches them with words. And one of the things that he talks to them about is there is a kingdom of God and it is not this world. We are in this world and we are not of it if we are Christ followers. And he talks to them about this, and included in that lesson is he's like, hey, by the way, this world, it's going to hate me. It's going to reject me. And if you choose to follow me, it's going to be the same for you. And eventually this leads to Jesus living. He teaches all he can. He lives this sinless life. And in the ultimate rejection and hatred from the world, he is murdered brutally on a Roman cross. Not because he's guilty, not because he deserves it, but because all the way back in the fall, when sin entered the picture, man deserves it. Man deserves death. Man deserves separation from God. And Jesus took those things on the cross on our behalf. And when he did that, what death did to sin is it said, the penalty is paid. Death is the consequence, but the penalty has been paid if we believe in Christ. Separation from God is the consequence. That has been paid if we believe in Christ. And then Paul points out when he wrote 2 Timothy in this verse, in verse 8, he says, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. So not only do we have the grave, not only do we have the death of sin, not only do we have, sin has no more power over us if we believe in Christ. We also have Jesus showing, I am the Lord. I am the King of the universe. Death didn't have the final say over Jesus. Jesus had the final say over death. And so Jesus comes back, he resurrects 3 days after he died, and he spends 40 days appearing to his disciples and continuing to teach them before he eventually ascends into heaven. And once again, when he's with the disciples, he's like, do you see, do you get it now? There's a kingdom of God. I have showed you by being in this world and dying and raising again that this world is not all that there is. I died and I rose again in something new, and I want to bring you with me. If you follow me, you will have to die to yourself in this world, but it's not all that there is. And if you would die to yourself in this world, then you are going to be raised to life again into something new, into something that is beyond your imagination. And there's other parts of the Bible that describe there is a new heaven, there's a new earth. Jesus went back up to prepare these places for us. And that is the good news that Paul is saying, Timothy, get this into your bones. Paul is writing this with shackles on his arms, knowing that he is getting closer and closer to death each day. And he's like, this good news, that is what I'm clinging to in this. This is so much bigger than what I can physically feel on my hands right now in this prison cell. And so he goes on in verse 9 to say, because I preach this good news, I am suffering, hence jail, prison. I am suffering and have been chained like a criminal, but the word of God cannot be chained. What Paul's saying here is that whatever you're seeing with these physical chains, it does not mean that God's mission is not still happening right now. Paul himself had been deserted by a lot of friends and people that had called themselves Christians, and Paul knew that just kind of the essence of our faith is people can get in, they can be excited, there's a lot of benefits, right? Like, great, my afterlife is, it's secure, I got my jail out of free card. And then you realize that it's hard, you realize that you have to sacrifice, you realize that it's not about you anymore. And a lot of the ways that people interacted with the gods at the time is like, if you suffer, then you picked the wrong god. If you suffer, then God is mad at you or you did something wrong. And so people were not sticking with the Christian faith. And Paul says here, no, our kingdom is different. The kingdom of God, Jesus already told us, this world is not all that there is. So there's going to be times in this world where it looks like we're going backwards. There's going to be conversations that you have at work where you hear Joel on Sunday and he says, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. And then you're going to go to work that week and you're going to go, okay, this person's been on my mind. I've been praying for them. I have the conversation. Now they keep you at arm's distance. Now the friendship is broken. And you're like, okay, well, I messed that up. Guess they're never going to go to a church and now they think Christians are weird. You have a family member or a close friend that you love and out of dear love, you call them in close and you say, I have to be honest with you. I have to call you to something higher. I have to share this gospel with you. I have to bring some God perspective into this conversation. And now that relationship looks like it is just ruined. It looks like it went nowhere. They are mad at you. They're not talking to you. It did not go the way that you'd like it to go. But the thing is, the word of God can't be chained. What we see with our eyes is not the end of the story. If you are faithful to the word of God, and if you are faithful to the acts of obedience that you feel called to, it is not in vain. And that is what Paul is so sure of as he writes to Timothy. He goes on in verse 10 to say, so I am willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those God has chosen. Paul's saying, because of this gospel that we just described and how good it is, because I'm confident that Jesus went before us and that we're following in his footsteps if we're suffering, because I am confident that what we physically see means nothing about what's still going on, what God is still moving in, I will do anything, I will endure anything if Christ can get more glory and if more people can get to be a part of this salvation that Christ paid for us. As Paul talks about others finding salvation in this verse, there's a reminder about how we remember the gospel. We cannot just focus on ourselves. I mentioned earlier that one of the consequences of sin, and I think this is one that we skate over a little bit, because we talk a lot about death and like where we're going to heaven, but one of the consequences of sin is separation from God. And the reality is, if we live in, all of us live in this world, I'm not going to say if, as we live in this world, none of us know what that truly, fully means to be fully separated from God. Because Jesus himself said in Matthew 5, he talked about how the rain will fall on both the righteous and the unrighteous. And when Jesus said that, rain was considered a good thing. It meant harvest, it meant water for the people, it meant water for the animals. Rain represented life. And what Jesus is saying here is, hey, there are common graces that everybody on this earth gets to experience. God made the earth good. Yes, it is cursed now. Yes, it's just a fragment of what it was designed to be, but God made the earth good. So if you are walking on this earth, whether you choose to follow Christ or not, you get common graces. You get good food. You get to experience medicine and the minds that have helped develop it and the parts of the earth and the plants and all the things that God created that go into making that medicine. You get to experience laughter. Have you guys ever been up late at night? You can't stop laughing, your belly laughing, your sides are aching and you're trying to wrap it up. And then somebody else in the room, like you finally get quiet and then they kind of giggle and then you guys like keep laughing all over again. Like the beauty in relationships like that, like relationships were God's idea. When you're truly connected and joyful in relationship like that, have you ever been to a national park outside of Ohio where there's mountains and there's, sorry, Ohio, I didn't think Ohio would bring the picture I'm trying to paint. Have you ever been in one of these spaces with mountains or these beautiful lakes, these spaces where you're away from all the noise and you're sitting, you're just so aware of how small you are and how big creation is and how beautiful it is. And you're like, just like, look at what God created. Whether we follow Christ or not, we have these common graces. And then in addition to that, if I'm a Christ follower, I now have the Holy Spirit inside of me. I have church to go to, which was God's design so that I can feel connected, so that I can be reminded of who he is. I have the word of God that is made active and alive and is designed so that I can figure out, okay, how in the world do I navigate a relationship with God? But there are all these ways for us to connect with God as Christ followers. And even in that, right now in my life is the farthest I will ever be from God, besides like BC, like before I started following Christ. But as a Christ follower, the way that you feel on your worst day, guess what? That's the worst. That is the worst it's going to be. Your questions, your doubts, you wondering why God would ever make you wait or make you grieve or make you see a tragedy that you have seen, that's the worst it's ever going to be for you, because there is a day coming where what Jesus did for us means that we will have no separation at all. We still have a veil right now. The veil is going to be gone. But if you know someone who's not a Christ follower, this world and those common graces, including the common grace of knowing you as a Christ follower, getting to interact with you, getting to see Christ in you, that's the closest they're ever going to be to God. I knew I was going to get emotional at some point. The Bible, every time, doesn't help being pregnant too. This world is temporary. It is not forever. And the Bible tells us that there is going to be a new heaven and a new earth. It's what was promised to us. It's what Jesus is preparing for us. But another promise that is in the Bible is that before we enter into eternal connection or eternal separation, we're going to stand before God. It's actually going to be hinted at in the last verses that we're going to go through today. And we're going to stand before God, and for the Christ followers, we will enter into perfect communion, no more separation. And for those who do not know Christ, they will say goodbye to the closest tastes they've had of God for eternity. There's no more chances after that. And so to wrap up verse 10, that is why Paul will endure anything. He's like, what can prison do to me? I'm headed to perfect connection. Everybody else I'm trying to tell, I want them to hear about that. I want them to have that chance. Why wouldn't I give everything so that they get to have that opportunity too? So in verses 11 through 13, this is going to broadly go out and talk about some truths of God. I don't have time to really dig into these last three verses. They could be a message in and of themselves. If you have questions about them, feel free to find me. I said I go to Three Creeks. I'm happy to tell you all of the things that I would have loved to talk about in this message. But for the sake of what we're going to do this morning, all that we need to know is that Paul had some reasons based on what he knew about the church in Ephesus, what he knew about what Timothy was experiencing, and what God knew that we would experience in our life, that sometimes we just need some rocks of truth about God that we go back to and we're like, that's true about God, that's true about God, that's true about God. If I'm going to stake my life on God, I need to have these rock solid truths and stick to them. And so that's what we're going to see, is just some truth about God, back to back, from verses 11 through 13. Paul wrote, "This is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. For he cannot deny who he is." This translation that I'm in, it's called the New Living Translation, where it says, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. It's really easy to get that one just a little bit wrong. So just to dive into what that means for a second, if we are unfaithful to God, he is still faithful to God. So I'll keep unpacking what denial and unfaithfulness is, but just in case you've heard it any other way, or you read that and you're like, wait, what does that mean? So there's two themes here that we clearly see, and they go back to the picture that we've already been talking about all morning. And it kind of takes us back to this idea of a throne room and being before God. And there's going to be two groups, there's two options in this throne room. One option are the Christ followers. And we read in these first two phrases, if we die with him, we also live with him. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. Those are promises from God for us, and they are reiterated in this truth about God. And then we see the hard truth also reiterated about denial and how there's another side. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. Joel has mentioned in this series that there are some parts of the gospel that we really don't like, whether it's that we don't like hearing them or we don't like having to be the messenger to others. We don't like the absolutes. We don't like submitting. We don't like that the gospel can seem exclusive. All I'm going to say about the gospel being exclusive, because it is in its own way, is that Joel did a really good job about talking how the gospel is exclusive, but it is also inclusive. And so he talked about that in an earlier week. If you want to find that message, I can help you find it. And you can go back and listen to him explain that really well. But the reality is Paul is just painting and putting these rocks on the ground, these solid reminders again for us of like, these are truths about God, Timothy. Stick to these. You have to keep the main thing the main thing. You cannot miss the point. As you're giving the truth to the leaders that you're training up in the church, you can't miss the point. We have to stick to these truths. We have to keep these ahead of our eyes and ahead of our vision. Before I wrap up on explaining what these verses mean, I want to make sure that anybody that has my personality gets a little bit of assurance. Because if you were me, you'd get in the car on the way home and you'd say, I've been really apathetic this last month, year, 5 years. Was I unfaithful? Did I deny God? Did I lose my salvation? That's not what these verses are for. What we have, luckily, is this story of Peter in the New Testament. And God is so gracious to give us this picture. And poor Peter is just, I've said before, he's just going to get, he's been roasted ever since the New Testament came out. So we're all going to get to heaven and we're going to be like, thank you so much for giving me assurance because like you really messed up. So now I have confidence. What Peter did is he was a disciple of Jesus who literally walked with him, one of the closest disciples to Jesus. And as Jesus went to the cross, Peter denied him strongly, three times. But God's character is not that, that did not take Peter out of the running. When Jesus was raised from the dead and he came back, Jesus made a point of seeking Peter out. He cooked breakfast for him. He reminded him of who he was, and he had this conversation with Peter, and he restored him. Peter is going to be in that new heaven and that new earth with us. This is not, oh, if you have a bad week or if you have doubts or if you just have the realities of living in a sinful world and not being a perfect Christ follower. That's not what this is about. This is the fact that we have a choice with our life. We are either going to choose to believe that Christ took on that sin for us, or we're going to choose to believe, I don't even have sin I'm guilty of. Or I don't believe that Christ took it. Or I believe there's a lot of ways to get to heaven. Those are the two options at the end of our life, both for us and for the truth that we're sharing with others. It's so important that we remember that. It's so important that we keep the main thing, the main thing. God cannot deny who he is because the things that we have read today in the Bible, they are true. We can stake our lives on them. And because of that, because of this good news that we just read, that is why we suffer. That is why we endure. As we go back and zoom out to the book of 2 Timothy as a whole, this series that we've been in and that we're going to keep going through, this is the heart of where all the rest of it has to flow from. I warned you guys that there's no action points today. There's no reflection questions. It's good for us to just sit in this sometimes. So you guys are free to just sit in your seat. We're also gonna go and worship and finish the last song. The prayer team is in the back and they are ready for you to pray with you. Maybe it's about something you heard today or anything else going on in your life.
Thanks for listening to the Three Creeks Church podcast. To find out more about our church, to give online, or to attend a service, visit threecreekschurch.com.